clarify a little bit. So 6 o'clock tonight, Sunday night services, right, Josh? Instead of 6:30. So that's our evening service. Come in here and watch and participate. So it's at 6 o'clock instead of 6:30 tonight, and then all week for the VBS. But I just don't want you to miss out on anything as far as this evening goes with services and being here for the opening night of Vacation Bible School. So we're excited and looking forward to that. Sound like we got a good number of kids planning on being here. And as Josh had made mention, in Sunday school, several names from the community and different things like that we're looking for, having a positive outreach for. So come and participate tonight. They need help all week, but come and share and help out with that. Also, I want to thank everybody for those that were able to help out and participate at family camp. Had a great week. Terry Pierce sent a message this morning to me to thank the crew, everybody, for all their hard work and making that a successful time as well. And if you want copies of those sermons and things of that nature, they are available, and we can get those to you as well. For those of you that were at family camp and heard a message that Levi spoke on called Awake, ours is a little similar to that. I'll assure you, I didn't plan it after I heard him, but I already had in mind and go. But we are in Romans chapter 13, verse 11 is the passage of scripture that we want to look at this morning. Romans 13, 11. And as we, as you're turning there, or it will be on the screen here shortly, when we get to that point, Paul is writing to the church at Rome. He is letting them know and reminding them that we all go through phases in our Christian walk, and sometimes we're a whole lot stronger and more faithful than we and as we ought to be, and other times we struggle. And so in this passage of Scripture, he kind of references that whether you're sleeping or whether you're awake. And so that's how we're going to approach this text here this morning. It says, do this, knowing the time that is already that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. In other words, get up. It's time to get up. For now, salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. And I think we understand that first, the first section of get up or wake up, to slumber, to sleep, and then we're going to look at that second phrase, which I remember the point in which I understood what that meant, and we'll try to help you hopefully come to that. You guys are probably way smarter than I am and already figured it out, so I'll just be remedial and share that again with you. But anyway, so that passage that's talking to us there of being asleep or how we need to wake up, and you know, there's times I'll tease Mary over there. I'll say, wake up, right? And she's like, she always thought, I'm not sleeping. And so she's not sleeping, right, Mary? That's right. But we like to pick on her, and we'll say, you know, wake up. But as we look at that and we think of that, aren't there times that we all need to be told to wake up, right? You're sitting in a class, and you're awake, and but you're not there, right? You get going. And so maybe, you had a long week. And so when you get an opportunity to sit down and it just gets real comfortable and we want to, now sleep is good. Don't get me wrong, but to stay in that state becomes a problem. You know, even the Proverbs talk to take a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, but he doesn't compare that to a good thing. But we do need those times to rejuvenate. We do need those times to refresh in ourselves. And so there are times of that, but that's why then in the church we have things we call revivals, right? Because need revived. We need to wake up again. We need to share those things. That's what Paul is trying to share here. And so this whole idea of sleeping in the spiritual walk, in the spiritual realm of things, is that if someone tells you, that you're asleep in your spiritual life, they're talking about your inactivity. They're talking about maybe your insensibility to doctrine, to listening and paying attention to those things. And what one commentator refers to as the man's duties of religion. In other words, becoming a Christian, we arise to walk in a new life, and we're not to be zombies or sleepwalk. We're to be alive and active. And it was already mentioned our Sunday school class, but one of lessons that Terry Pierce shared for the men was extremely good, because it talks about, hey, there's that time, where we said we may in our spiritual walk be walking. There's times we may be running, but we always need to be moving forward. But it's when we stop that gives us the ability to start to coast backwards, to maybe trip up, to falter. And so in this time of sleep, we need to arise from that, to get out of that. It's a reminder to us, as we get going here, we'll compare the light and the darkness as it talks about in Scripture, but we even understand that in our own life. But as we think of this sleeping and this inactivity in our spiritual life, do you ever notice that we don't have to wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to have an evil, wicked thought today? We don't have to work at that, do we? It just comes natural, unfortunately. However, we do need to wake up and say, I'm going to be positive. I want to look at things from the righteous and holy side of things. And we have to work at that. And anybody that knows, as you work, as you find that good, but it also then at the end of the day makes you tired. And that's why I believe the Apostle Paul also tells us, do not grow weary in doing good. That there are times we do need to take a rest, but don't ever take a spiritual break. Don't ever shut down and close out. And so that's what we want to look at and think about here this morning. Paul, and even Jesus himself, throughout Scripture, refers to that of being asleep. And as was shared with us, I think it was by Dickie Chambers, with the story of Lazarus. There was a confusion. Is he asleep? Is he dead? Is he asleep? Is he dead? And sometimes, as I look out in the audience, I wonder the same thing. Are they asleep or are they dead? Hey, we like to laugh at that. But, years ago over in the old building, this is long before I was preacher over there, they had a guy die during the service once over there. Of course, it took them, an hour or two to figure out if he was awake or if he was dead, if he's sleeping or if he's, no. But it did, so that's a, Tom Roth will tell you all about it, right? But anyway, does the world look at us the same way? Are we asleep? Are we awake? what's the deal? What's going on? We got some scriptures here that as we talk about this sleep this morning, and we, as we said, we associate those with light and dark. John 1:5, the Gospel of John 1:5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And so that's kind of what we want to start in our thinking there. The darkness, when we talk about the darkness of the world, and we see those, it does not like the light. The light shined upon it. That's talking about Jesus Christ. The light shined upon it, and it did not comprehend it. That's because, as we know and understand, that sometimes they don't want to understand Jesus. Life's a whole lot more fun, right? That's what the world tries to sell you. If you don't know the difference between right and wrong and just do what you want to do. But when we as Christians try to be lights in this world, they look at us like we are some oddball, weird duck. And to be honest, Scripture tells us that we need to be a peculiar people. That as the world looks at us, they ought to see something different. And so the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Sometimes they don't get it just because they don't understand. Sometimes they don't get it because they don't want to get it. There's going to be people that you try to share the gospel with that will just close you out. Don't want to hear it. Then there's others that as they seek the Lord, then we become that opportunity to bring them light. In another way, then 1 John, in the epistle letter, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "This is the message that we have heard from him, and we announce it to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." Right? And so, unfortunately, we have some lingo at times that we like to use, even as Christians, and we'll say, well, you know, it's just kind of a necessary evil. Well, the problem with calling something a necessary evil is that the more evil it gets, the more necessary we think it needs to be. And we can walk ourselves in a very dangerous place. But what this says is that there is no, because he is the light, there is no darkness in him at all. God has never had a bad thought. Jesus has never had a bad thought. The Holy Spirit is there to help us so that we never have a bad thought. God the Father and the Son have never even thought about thinking about having a bad thought. We may do our best to try to not have bad thoughts, but then that means we've thought about thinking about having a bad thought. And we've got to try to dispel that. What I'm saying is, we have moments where we are supposed to be these reflectors of light, that we are supposed to be letting the Lord lead and shine through us, and we do things to make it dark. And that's one of the things I think we misunderstand. Some as we read and we memorize, you know, Psalm 23, just about everybody's got that. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? Those shadows, right? If the sun is shining all around, there are no need for lights in heaven because what? Because God is there. We shouldn't have those shadows in our life if God is leading us. And plus, as another thing, as I always try to point out in that shadow of the valley of death, what is there for us to understand about shadows? They're not there. We think there's something there, right? But there really, it's nothing there. It's our mind at work. Bring in God, show the light, dispel the shadow. And so even if we're talking about the shadow of death, if we are obedient to the light, then we dispel the shadow of death, the shadow of sleep, the shadow of separation from Him. Other scriptures even talk about that He is not a wavering shadow, but He is the brightness. He is the fullness. And we should not let those things get us down. That we need not to stay in the sleep or the spiritual death. Because the darker it gets in our life, the deeper our ignorance becomes and the deeper we get into sin. But the light exposes that. The light drives those things away. We need to have a greater sensitivity towards spiritual things. When we talk about being wicked and we talk about being in the world, we talk about things of darkness. But when we talk about holiness and righteousness and things that are spiritual, things that lead us to God, we think of Jesus as light. Lord wants for us, through the Apostle Paul here, to consider these things. That you're asleep. And I don't think he's coming in ripping on the church. Just tell what he's saying is there not a one of us here that can't do better? We all can in that Christian walk. And so then he says, first you got to do is wake up, or you're in that sleep. Now wake up. Get out of it. Get out of it. We all go through these funks in life. We all go through these downtimes, those valleys of the shadow of death, but then it is time to awake. And so as we get ready to look at that, there's a passage, though, in the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, that says, "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of the darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Is your life dark, full of shadows? Then let's go to Jesus. He will light that up. I wanted that light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ makes us love Him more. Knowledge is one of those things. So at school, when you if you're in sports and you participate in the you're participating in a sport and you're able to maintain certain grade point averages throughout that season, then we hand out little medals at the banquets or the ceremonies we have called the Lamp of Knowledge, right? And those are so your academics are where they need to be at the same time as you're participating in sports. And so it's kind of a way of pointing those things out. Now, just like in the church, we'd like to be able to give everybody that lamp of knowledge, that light as we light up our path. But let's just face it, there's some that are carrying around flashlights with dead batteries. Not too much light there. Not too much light. And who's the only one that can change that? You can, by looking to the one that offers the light. So what he's saying is, you're asleep, but church, I want you to wake up. Wake up. Right? And on cue, just as I said that, Cully's back there yawning, stretching, right? Wake up. And that's what we need to do. He's telling us, and again, I don't think he's doing it to be me. He's doing it because he cares for us. And so this whole idea as we wake, as we see the morning light coming up, you see the sunrise. Those are beautiful things to look at. And it's a reminder to us who the Creator is, who the giver of light is. And God saw, and God said, let there be light. And it was a good thing. It's time to arise. What he's saying to the church at Rome is, you know what? Some of you have just been skating along on your proverbial good morals, right? And you're a good person. And, but if you're a Christian, he's saying it's time to wake up now and get serious about this thing. And when we first wake up at times, we're not always thinking clearly. And that's why he says to get in the light, become sober-minded. Put the things of the world behind you and focus on those things that are from above. Tells us that when we are asleep or when we're headed towards death, that night is a reminder to us of the world of paganism, of all those evil and wicked things that maybe some of you have come out of. Now, all of us have had to make the decision to be in the light if we're in the light. But our backgrounds may be different. If we're raised in the church, we still have to make that conscious choice to become a Christian. We're not raised in the church, then we have to leave that part of the world behind us and then come to Jesus. And so it's a reminder to us then on this, as we are awake, as we leave the night of paganism and the night of sin and the darkness that is there. But in essence, as we talked about that flashlight with the batteries that are dead, get those new batteries in there, make sure that bulb's ready to go, and shine the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere. Let it shine, but you have to be awake to be able to do it. We're sleepwalking, we don't know what we're doing, where we're going, what's going on. But arise and wake and serve the Lord. We cast off the deeds of darkness. There are things that we used to pick up, carry with us, wear with us. But when we become a Christian, we put on Jesus Christ. Scripture even talks of putting on Christ when? At our time of being immersed into Him for the forgiveness of our sins. So then we are to wake up, to rise up, to rise to life, to purity. You know, and it's so easy, as we've said before, at youth camp to do what's right and make good decisions. It's so easy at family camp when we're being encouraged by one another and we're talking and we're hearing those sermons and everything. But then we live our life and we get into a daily life of living. Can we live pure and holy and righteous on a daily basis? That's what's called being faithful, and our faithfulness shining through. Put those thoughts into action. That's where the rubber meets the road, is that we no longer just talk about it. And maybe that's the problem the church at Rome had, is let's talk about being a Christian. Let's talk about doing these good things. And they were never getting anything done. We all have that, right? Lists on the refrigerator or wherever we keep of things that we want to get done. Oh, we like to talk about maybe it's jobs around the house. Maybe it's places you want to go to. Maybe it's people you want to talk to about the Lord. Whatever it may be, we've always got good intentions, but I believe that the road to hell is going to be paved with good intentions. And so, as we awake, Ephesians chapter 5 verses 13 and 14 says, but all things become visible when they are exposed to the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. You can lay there and sleep through life. Sleep through spiritual life. But it's better for us to rise and have Christ shine on us. 1 Thessalonians also tells us in chapter 5, verses 5 through 8, says, "For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet, the hope of salvation." And so what he's doing is comparison. More bad things happen at night than good things. More good things happen during the day because it's light out. Because when there's darkness around, we just have the tendency to think differently. And so he's reminding us here that as we see this, that there's that change. Literally as much as flipping the light switch from being asleep to being awake in him. And then I want to focus just for a few moments as we get ready to close out. So the passage of our opening verse that says, "And salvation is nearer than when you first believed." And so we look at that and we see salvation. I thought, well, wait a second. When I believed, I was obedient. I became a Christian. I repented. I confessed Jesus Christ. Salvation was there, was it not? Aren't we saved? Don't we say we're saved at that time? Yes, we are. But it's just like sanctification, for example. We are sanctified, and then we continue to be sanctified. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But you know what? We still have to live in this world. That ultimate day and salvation is nearer than when you first believed. In other words, that judgment is coming. The salvation time that'll save us from this wicked world. Christ has saved us from our sin. The end salvation will save us from this life. We got a life then we get to live with him. And so you may be here this morning and have been obedient to Jesus Christ. Praise Jesus for that. But you got to keep on that faithful life, headed down that road, walking in the light to receive that salvation that is now closer than when you first believed. For some, it may be just a couple weeks old, that salvation. For others, it may be many, many, many years ago. But keep on walking in the light. Keep on walking in Jesus Christ. For salvation is now nearer than when you first believed. Church, be faithful. Get up. Wake up. Quit your sleeping. Be faithful for Jesus. Be faithful to him. Live a life for him. There's a plan of salvation that shares with us that our life begins when we realize that our life is heading towards death, is heading towards eternal sleep. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. And by all means, continue to be faithful, for salvation is nearer than when you first believed. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation this morning?